The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Wednesday, 29 August 2018. And as promised, from EIR, I've got Harley Schlanger. Hello, Harley.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
How are you doing? You're stateside time. You're in the United States.
Yeah, I got in yesterday, and I'll be here for a week. I've got some work to do here and also visiting family.
Well, I read your, will Brennan be called before a grand jury? I wanted to get into this with you today because there's something rotten in Denmark, as we're all aware. But to be accurate, we try to pinpoint where the rot is coming from before it infects the entire body and the entire body dies. Seems that over these last couple of days, I've been watching the medias, and both liberals and the so-called conservative medias have just been fawning over John McCain. And I said yesterday that Chucky Schumer, when he comes out loading up, good things to say about John McCain, is there any doubt as to who John McCain really was? I mean, this guy's track record that the public knows nothing about. But for two, yeah. This shows me, Harley, the state of politics. It demonstrates the attitude of all media. Nobody had anything negative to say about this. And he was a cancer. He might have died of cancer, but he was a neocon. He's the one that was responsible. His vote, we could have gotten rid of Obamacare. John McCain stopped that. But if you go back, who did John McCain eventually take the seat of? Barry Goldwater? This guy is not even close to being Barry Goldwater. But his legacy has been manufactured, and they've been celebrating it, Harley, for 2 days straight.
You know, John, it's interesting. If you criticize McCain, the media immediately attacks you as unpatriotic and against the best interests of the country. You know, you're right in pointing out that this gets at some of the rot in the country. You know, it was not that long ago that McCain was known primarily for, well, it was actually 30 years ago, but he was one of the defenders of a swindle that was carried out by the savings and loan industry, Charles Keating, and the Lincoln? Yeah, Lincoln Savings and Loan,
yes.
Which sold $250,000 certificates of deposit that were not backed by anything to hundreds of retired citizens, if not thousands, in Arizona. McCain vouched for Keating. And when Keating's bank went under and people lost everything, he did a mea culpa, but faced nothing really in terms of some kind of punishment for his role in facilitating the swindle. McCain also was one of the key people in verifying the Iraq dossier that claimed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, a dossier manufactured by British intelligence, passed on by Tony Blair to George W. Bush to justify the attack and the invasion of Iraq, which has led to now it's 15 years of chaos in the Middle East. Now, the same British intelligence networks passed on to McCain the Steele dossier, which is back in the news, a fraudulent dossier that was at the heart of all the lies and corruption in the Justice Department and FBI against Donald Trump around Russiagate. McCain also was in support of virtually every single war. You mentioned the neocon question. And then on a personal basis, you know, his first family came out to report that he betrayed his first wife, who was involved in a serious car accident, while she was in the hospital. He was carrying on an affair with Cindy McCain, who later became Cindy McCain, who was one of the wealthiest women in Arizona. So he dumped a wife and three kids in order to have a life of comfort and wealth and riches.
It sounds like Newt Gingrich.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So, but here you have the media praising him without mentioning any of his flaws. And one of the things that, you know, Trump, this whole question of whether his being shot down over Vietnam makes him a hero or a non-hero, that wasn't really Trump's main opposition to him. It was that McCain was a warmonger. McCain loved war. McCain embraced neo-Nazis in Ukraine. He embraced Al-Qaeda and ISIS figures in Syria. And I mean, physically embraced them. Maybe he didn't know who they were, but he was endorsing so-called moderate Syrian rebels and arms going to them when he was sitting in a war council of ISIS figures. So this is hardly a great hero, but it shows what I think is proof of Trump derangement syndrome, that people hate Trump so much that they'll defend someone who, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, many Democrats didn't like McCain because of his war policy. Many Republicans didn't like him because of his immigration policy, and also you mentioned his vote on Obamacare. And now if you don't praise him, you're somehow demonized by the media.
I am just absolutely fascinated. The American people do not know that his father, John McCain Jr., he was an admiral. He was the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Naval Forces in Europe. And while John McCain was busy killing people on the forestall, almost simultaneously his father was there to bury the story about the USS Liberty.
Exactly, exactly.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, my God, if even 10% of the American public knew of these guys' records and what they were actually involved in, there would be a backlash against these lying medias. I mean, we're at the point. I don't know what else to say at this point, but we have arrived that it's okay for the media just to outright lie. We know damn right well that the CIA has had their plants. They've had them in the major newsrooms. They've had them in the newspapers. They had them eyeballing the publishers. They were in Hollywood. They were all over the place for propaganda purposes. And now the American people are genuflecting and saying prayers for a guy that should have been in jail.
Well, you mentioned earlier this other character, Brennan. You know, it's ironic that the people today who are the strongest in their praise of John Brennan are people who 6-7 years ago were calling for his removal for his role as a CIA director. And before that, you know, Brennan not only covered up for CIA torture, and of course his assistant Haspel is now the head of the CIA, and she was involved directly, personally, in supervising torture in some of the prisons. But Brennan, when the Congress was investigating this, the Senate had a select committee to investigate it, that was headed by Dianne Feinstein, who's not one of my favorite Democrats. But Brennan was spying on the Senate investigators. He had their computers under surveillance. Their phones were tapped. And then he lied about that before the Congress, and Feinstein denounced him at the time. And yet when Brennan comes out against Trump, this guy who was Obama's partner in targeting people for killing with drones, who lied about the terrorist networks that were being funded by the Saudis, who lied about what we were doing, providing arms to neo-Nazis in Ukraine, because he says Trump is a traitor. He's suddenly a hero to Democrats who 10, 15 years ago would have never supported someone like this. So what we're seeing is a shift among the political class and the media. But, John, I'll argue with you on one point. I don't think the American people are as enamored of the mainstream media as the members of the mainstream media think. You know, you look at CNN's ratings. You look at MSNBC. Their ratings are high among the people who want to impeach Trump, but their ratings are falling off overall. And there's still an ongoing deepening rebellion against the mainstream media and the mainstream politicians in this country. Proof of that is look what happened in the primary in Florida yesterday. The pro-Trump Republican ran a landslide victory, despite the polls saying it would be very close, and a Bernie Sanders Democrat, who on the surface would have nothing to do with Trump.
Which one was the white guy?
DeSantis, the Republican.
And he won?
He won by a landslide.
Hmm.
Now, he won the Republican nomination. The Democratic nomination was won by an African-American mayor of Tallahassee, who is for single-payer health care, who endorses most of the Bernie Sanders policies. But this was against people who were endorsed by the Hillary Clinton mainstream Democrats and the Democratic National Committee. So in a number of these cases, we're seeing the so-called fringe elements, what the media calls the fringe elements, winning the primaries in both parties as a rejection of the Bush neocon wing in the Republican Party in favor of Trump, and a rejection of the Clinton-Obama leadership in the Democratic Party. So the rebellion is still out there. It's just got to be addressed more clearly by Trump and Trump supporters so that the American people have more to go on than just an instinctive dislike for these arrogant SOBs who tell them how stupid they are.
Well, simultaneously, as we're seeing, I'm fully aware of what's happening to their ratings. We have two news services in this country, the outright liars and then the ones with the subterfuge, that being Fox News.
Exactly.
The neocon network that there's not a soldier they won't support or a war that they won't support. And I'm looking at this. This is the official, this what the politicians, you know, this is why they keep doing the interviews on the media. No matter how small the audience may be watching that, they're using that as their brand, if you will.
What's the talking points? They're getting their talking points out, and these are then used by the activists to gin up the enthusiasm of the activists. But, you know, the problem they're having is that they can't get beyond the core of the activists, whereas what Trump did with the presidential campaign is reach into what were the Reagan Democrats, a good cross-section of independents, and mobilize them around a break with the existing establishment. And I think what we're seeing globally, and you know, I see this in Europe every single day, a break with the establishment. You know, the German media, just as an example, the German media is even more despicable towards Trump than the American media, if you can believe that. They say the United States is in bed with the Russians. The United States is killing people all over the world because of Trump. They ignore the fact that Trump is actually trying to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. He's trying to get us disengaged in the wars in the Middle East. And yet in Germany, there's a rebellion against the mainstream political parties that's very profound.
Well, and Merkel, she's a communist, for God's sakes. I don't care. You can't really change who you are. You can change your stripes around a little bit, but Angela Merkel is as communist can be. So what does that tell me about the media's? This is a concerted effort worldwide. You know, you want to talk about collusion. Well, yep. The globalists are now teaming together. They're going cross-border. They're going transoceanic.
Well, they always did, but look, they're losing. I mean, here's another perfect example. Take this whole question of NAFTA and the renegotiation of NAFTA. This was made possible by two things. One, Trump's campaign and his insistence that he's not going to accept NAFTA. And secondly, the Mexican voting public. They voted for Manuel López Obrador, knowing that he was against the NAFTA agreement. And now the incoming president of Mexico is showing real respect for President Trump. And this is driving the Canadians crazy because Trudeau is part of the globalists. Trudeau is part of the Queen's minions. And so what happened in Mexico? A rebellion against the establishment. This party that didn't exist 6 years ago got well over 50% of the vote. We're seeing it in Italy. Now, I have some friends that are part of the Lega Nord, which is now the Lega Party, which is one of the two ruling parties in Italy, who are very clear on immigration questions, but more importantly, they're becoming almost a majority party on their own because they're linking the immigration problem in Europe to the economic policies of the European Union and to the euro system.
Okay, now how are they making – I heard what you said, and I could understand the economics underlying masses of people coming into your country. I can understand that, but what is your link here?
Well, what they're saying is that the same people who are saying we should have no control over borders are saying we should have no control over our economy.
Yeah. Okay.
We should have no basis for pouring money into infrastructure when the Italian infrastructure, as we just saw in Genoa, is collapsing. You know, it's interesting. That bridge that collapsed in Genoa was privatized several years ago and taken over by a company, which is the Benetton family, you know, of United Colors of Benetton. Now, why did they buy one-third of the autostrada, the freeway system in Italy? To set up toll booths to make money. The same thing that's being pushed for infrastructure in the United States by the privatizers. But in Italy, the government told them last February that they had to repair that bridge because there were already signs that it was structurally weak and that it needed to be repaired. And they were supposed to repair it in the spring. But they decided that wouldn't work because that would infringe on the toll income they would make during the summer holidays. So they postponed the planned reconstruction until October. And look what happened. This is an example of how the European Union, through privatization, is putting the profits of private corporations above the public good.
Well, and I have recently talked about the states, their debts. They can't pay the retirement funds. Nobody talks about the investments that were made that were wiped out in 2008.
Yeah.
And Illinois' idea about solving their debt problem is to borrow more money. Now, there's a reason why our infrastructure in this country needs about $3 trillion. There's a reason why this country is falling apart.
Yeah.
And they can't borrow the money fast enough. Now, folks, I want you to understand something here. The end game scenario, what you're seeing unfolding in front of you, is what the globalists always wanted. They needed.
And, John, it's important to note they're not borrowing the money to pay for infrastructure. They're borrowing the money to cover over the bad debt that's coming due that they can't cover.
And I want to continue with this, but let me sneak a call in here. 800-313-9443. I'm going to have Harley Schlanger with us for the 2 hours, so we'll intersperse our conversation with your calls. And also, before I forget here, Harley's email, H-A-R-L-E-Y, just like the motorcycle. Don't put Indian there. No, Harley, S-C-H, at gmail.com. Let's go to Chuck in Texas. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, buddy, I hope you can hear me on this particular brand of Bluetooth.
Yeah, go ahead.
I tuned in and was and hearing some of the things your host was saying about maybe 15 minutes ago, and I thought, oh, my God, somebody who's finally beginning to question Trump. And then about, 5 minutes later, I'm hearing the same old excuses. Can I just ask some real straight-up questions here? Is Trump a Zionist?
Well, I think the verdict on that is still out. He definitely is extremely tied to Netanyahu and Netanyahu's policies. And Netanyahu is a dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore right-wing Zionist from way back, going back to the founders of the Greater Israel movement from the 1930s and 40s. Now, the question is the blank check that Trump seems to have given to Israel going to hold up? And this is, and there's a much bigger picture here that you have to keep in mind, which is the whole relationship with Russia. Because Trump and the Russians are talking about a whole reorganization of the Middle East against the neocon operation, which includes the Saudis, the Zionists, the whole British design from the 20th century. Now, I would say that the reason I have not concluded that he should be labeled a Zionist is because he hasn't been given the opportunity to fulfill what he wants to do with the Russians, which is to crush terrorism, to guarantee Israel's security, but within its original borders, not allow for an expansion from Israel. So we'll see. You know, this is one area where I know a lot of your listeners, John, are quite convinced that Trump is a complete sellout. And I think we haven't really seen yet the full picture. And I would give him a little bit more time to carry out his bigger vision, his bigger picture.
Well,
but certainly the warning signs are there.
Can I interrupt here a moment? Where is the evidence? Where is the providence of your postulations that Trump is working with Russia against the terrorists? Seems to me that we're about to go with war in Russia, in Syria, while we're protecting ISIS.
You're right. There's a contradiction in the policy. On the one hand, the military, the U.S. military on the ground is working with Russia, but you have CIA and other networks that are still committed to regime change in Syria and provocations against Russia. U.S. policy is...
Wait a minute. The military on the ground is working with Russia, but, excuse me, these men don't take orders. These men don't just act on their own. The military doesn't. They take orders from far above.
Yeah, and here's...
And
Chuck, I understand where you're going with this, and Harley, I'm in agreement with him. We have a duality here. We have Trump saying one thing and through his actions maybe signaling another, but yet we still have the ongoing Russia is the bad guy. The Trump collusion was real with Russia and fixing the Hillary vote, even though that this has been proven to be absolutely a lie, it still goes on. And I can understand Chuck's and appreciate because of the duality. What he's saying, I happen to agree with.
Well, I do too. I think there's a problem here that has not been resolved yet. And that's why I would say that let's take the case he's talking about, the likelihood that ISIS is going to carry out a chemical weapons provocation that will be another false flag to try to get the United States closer to a war with Russia. Now, let me just point out that the last time that happened in Douma, the United States bombed an empty Air Force hangar. The so-called result of the punishment was very limited in terms of Syria and Russia, and it was designed that way by the military. So what I'm saying is that the president has one set of stated objectives, that are being sabotaged by people who are working under him. But we see that in all these areas. Yeah. We see it in terms of what's going on with China, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with Russia in general. And I think this is there's a war, Chuck. There's a war going on inside the government where you have the establishment in both parties, which are committed to war, committed to chaos, committed to backing up crazy Bibi. And then you have others who recognize that we've gone too far in this, but are afraid of really fighting all out to win the war. And that's why I think John is right to point to the fact that there are many Republicans who support Trump on the Russiagate thing, but at the same time, they buy into the line that Russia's the problem.
Yeah.
There's a real conflict, intellectual conflict. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that this is made clear to the population. Don't just take sides on what you see in the media, of course, not on the media, or what you think is right. You really have to know what's going on behind the scenes here. And there's an incredible, intense warfare underway in Washington, D.C. The swamp has not been drained.
Harley, I surmised that this, what we're seeing here, and I've cautioned people that you're hearing and seeing the deep state actors. These are the people that are told, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to say. This is how we're going to communicate policy, not only to the people that are brain dead in this country, but more of a signal to the other deep state actors in other countries, the globalists, the people that want the current status quo, but they want to entrench themselves. You know, people seem to forget here that this is about the globalization process. You're seeing is a lot of political theater here. You're seeing the pushback or resistance from people. But you're also seeing their team players, the media, the intelligence agencies, the politicians. They're just taking orders.
But here's the question, John. Why are they so desperate and hysterical that they lie openly to try and get Trump out, if in fact Trump is part of the game? And I think this is what people have to look at, that there is a fight going on. Here's a perfect example. Look at the Justice Department. Sessions is really not the worst problem. His Sessions' problem is that he won't do what Trump wants him to do. But you've got a Justice Department which is filled with Obama holdovers, Bush holdovers, people who are against the Constitution and who are against the Trump administration. And ultimately, they're against the American people who voted to make Trump the president. This is a coup underway against an elected president.
Well, it's more than this. In a broader scale, it is an attempted coup on the political machinations or the political basis, supposedly based on the Constitution, in this country.
Yeah.
We've witnessed this happen to country after country that has fallen to communism. You know, Harley,
there used to be a joke, John. Why are there no coups in the United States? And the answer is because there's no U.S. embassy there. Well, now what we're seeing is the coup regime change policy that the United States has carried out all over the world has come back into the United States, funded by the same people who funded coups all over the world.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because just recently we brought on Karen Smith on the network, and she's done several interviews. And she was a South African. They were run out of Rhodesia. They had to move twice. They ended up in South Africa. And she has been witness to many of the murders of the farmers down there. The body count's up to 85,000. But if you look at the way this was structured and how the government was flipped and who these people brought in, they were the root and the start of the communism down there. We got Theresa May to come out and said, yeah, hey, no problem. As long as South Africa wants to redo its constitution to fit its needs, no problem. What?
Well, the same Theresa May who's sabotaging Brexit.
Exactly. All right, let's take the break here, Tom. I'll take your call right after the break, 800-313-9443. Let's keep it lively and let's keep it moving. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Big John. Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
All righty, we're back. Harley Schlanger is our guest today. By the way, did you, obviously you got my email. I would like to have you on more than once a month. Is that a possibility?
Well, we can try it. You know, when I'm in Germany, it's a little difficult. If you'd settle for an hour twice a month, then maybe I could do it. But the 2 hours takes me till 3 in the morning, and that's a little difficult. Because, John, I'm writing an article each week. I'm doing public speaking. I'm doing a lot of radio interviews in the U.S. And my wife's in architecture school, and I've got 2 young kids and a 3rd one on the way. So, you know, I'm scheduled pretty tight. But I could work out something with you to be on twice a month.
You heard him, folks, twice a week for an hour. Tom in Florida.
But, John, I do want to say something just in reaction to the discussion we had before the break. I think what people have – a lot of your listeners are aware that this is an extremely dangerous situation where the globalists are going for the kill right now. But they don't fully grasp the extent to which this really is a war. And it's a war that will determine the direction of this nation over the course of the next years, whether this nation will survive. And so when we talk about these things, it's not academic queries about is this guy good, is this guy bad? It's that there are real operations designed to destroy the country that have been largely successful because they've controlled the White House and the Congress for most of the last 25 years. The election of Trump was a shift. And this is what I try to capture when I write an article every week. And if people are interested in having access to my blog and see my articles each week, send me an email. That's why we gave out the email address earlier, harleysch@gmail.com. And I'll send you the most recent article on Brennan and a link to my blog.
Well, here's summing this up from my perspective. This is how I'm perceiving the Trump issue. I watched this just as closely as anybody else did. I watched this man totally obliterate 18 other Republicans that supposedly were better picks for president than Donald J. Trump. I watched what he went through. I watched the reaction. I watched as he talked more about the interest of the American people. You know, we're tired of this illegal stuff. We're tired of the murders, the drug running, the MS-13. We're tired of it. Build the damn wall. Hillary Clinton, we need to investigate her. We need to throw her in jail. One of the biggest crooks and criminals that has ever graced the White House, that's ever walked the halls in the White House, along with her hubby. I'm looking at this problem, and everybody's got their constitutional checklist, and here's where the problem lies. Donald J. Trump is not a traditional constitutionalist. Donald Trump is an executive. He's in the executive office. Here's a big clue. Billionaire, real estate, tied with the banks. He's made friends. And he's doing what, from his perspective, and what this man is about, he's doing, I think, the very best that he can based on his knowledge of how business and things are supposed to work. You and I might look at this, Harley, and say, well, it's the strict adherence to the Constitution. Yeah, all things being equal, that would be the best way to go. We'd have an honest money system right on down the line. What's your checklist? But what people are doing is putting Trump at the header here, and they're doing their checklist and going, well, okay, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. Well, yeah, okay, he did this, this, and this, but I think Trump's a plant. I think Donald Trump is exactly who he seems to be. I think he's Donald J. Trump. I don't think he's an insider. I don't think he was a plant. But based on his experience and his knowledge, he's working with what he has. Now, and to be honest with you, I wished he would do more.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump wanted to do all the things he really wanted to do, this man would have to go underground. He would have to literally put up defense forces surrounding his underground bunker, and then he'd probably use bunker buster bombs to kill him. But this is what he's facing. But he's the one that asked for the job. He's the one that pandered for the vote. So what I'm saying here, Donald Trump wanted the job. Okay, here it is. But I think a lot of people, they know what they want. They know what this country needs. And Donald Trump's not providing it on their time scale. So ergo, he's either a traitor or he's a plant or, you know, dump Trump. 42, there's a poll that I just saw today. I understand polls, folks. Plus or minus, yeah, depending on who's taking the poll. But up to 43% want to see Donald Trump impeached. Wow.
Well, I completely agree with what you just said as an analysis, that the problem we have with Trump is that people are imposing their own wishes on him and assuming that he will do what they want, including getting rid of the Federal Reserve, including breaking up the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, and all these other things, which would be good things. Now, would Trump be killed if he did these things?
Yes.
Yeah, they obviously would try to kill him. But here's the point. How do you secure yourself under those circumstances? The only thing you can do is make the case to the American people as boldly and aggressively and publicly as possible.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, stop right there. I'll let you continue with your line of thought, but I've got to interject this.
Yeah.
Then why is not the man – I mean, come on. I don't even have a Twitter account. The only way I find out what Donald Trump says on Twitter is to read somebody's repost or whatever. Yeah. I don't use the social medias. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. I know what these people are, and I knew eventually where they were going to go. Eliminate the opposition.
Yeah.
So having said that, I'm looking at this scenario, and I'm going, wait a minute here. Why does not the man do the same thing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did? This was shocking because there was a little guy, sawed-off Texan, out of Dallas. You hear that giant sucking sound? He was running for president. He was buying half-hour blocks, and he was talking to everybody. Why does not Donald Trump do the 21st century fireside chat? He's got enough money. He could literally buy time so the president of the United States could go directly to the American people, uninterrupted, no commercial breaks, and he's got enough money to pay for it. That'd be a first, another first in this country. But
you probably remember, John, that's exactly what Lyndon LaRouche did when he ran for president with much less money than Trump. But we bought half-hour time slots where LaRouche went on and talked about the corruption of the Federal Reserve System. Years before Trump was out publicly, we were talking about the deep state and the CIA and the corruption. Now, your point is absolutely valid. This is what Trump should do. This is what he does when he goes on the campaign trail. And I'll give you a perfect example of the problem he faces if he doesn't do it. He did an interview with Reuters about a week ago. And Reuters published only a few excerpts from the interview, mostly his denunciations of Mueller and the witch hunt. But in the interview, he talked about what he's trying to do with Russia, what he's trying to do with North Korea, what he's trying to do with China, what he's trying to do with the repeal of NAFTA and immigration, all of which were things that he got support for when he was running for president. Reuters didn't cover any of it. The only way you could get the transcript was going to the whitehouse.gov and digging through the reams of links there to find the actual interview. So he does have to go public in a big way. He could do it. Why he's not doing it, I can't tell you. I'm not in the White House. I'm in touch with some people around the White House, and they're somewhat baffled as to why he hasn't done more, for example, to force a release of the classified documents of the communications between Brennan and Clapper with British intelligence, which hooked up the whole scenario around Russiagate. The 9/11 story, why is he not declassifying that? I think the problem is that he's being told by so many people to limit the fights he's going to take and win a few of these smaller ones, instead of taking on the whole ball of wax.
Okay, well, then, you know, I've got callers holding. Let's come back, Carly. Let's make it a point to come back to this subject, because I'm not even close to being done on it.
Yeah, okay.
Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi, John. Hi, Harley. How you doing?
Hi.
John, how you doing, John? Yeah, can you hear me, John?
Yeah. Tom, go ahead. We have you.
Okay, yeah, John. First off, Harley is talking about yesterday's election here in Florida. I'm in South Florida. What happened last night is they were talking on CNN. Even these liberal news networks are talking about George Soros was funding this guy Gillum. The guy that's running against DeSantis here in Florida for governor, and George Soros and Bernie Sanders are the biggest supporters, and Soros, of course, is the biggest donor. And even the liberal networks this morning on Channel 10, LPG News, and 7 News. They were talking about Soros. They even mentioned his name. It was stunning to me that they would mention George Soros' name on the local channels.
Yeah, but you know why that's safe, Tom? Because the audience doesn't know who George Soros really is and what he's been doing.
Very good, John. Right. You're absolutely right. But here's what's going on now. This guy, I have my niece lives up in Tallahassee, and she's told me that place used to be a beautiful place like 8 years ago. Tallahassee is a wonderful place to live. It is actually gone. It's almost becoming like Miami and Fort Lauderdale. It's crime everywhere, robberies. It's gone off the chain. I mean, it's not no Chicago or nothing but like that. But, you know, that's just another thing. This guy was the mayor over there. He's a socialist. He wants Venezuela for the rest of the United States, him and Bernie.
Yeah.
And I tell you, these Republicans, like you're talking about Donald Trump. If Donald Trump was to start running ads about all the cities in the United States that are run by Democrats, what's going on in Venezuela and Cuba and Nicaragua, I think the Republicans would have won in a biggest tidal wave. It would be a tidal wave.
See, here's the problem, Tom. The problem is that people, they don't understand the political landscape in this country. They are so weak for a comparative basis because it's what they don't know. They've been spoon-fed the propaganda and the bent news for so long. They don't have enough knowledge base to even look at something and make a judgment on their own. And this is the critical point that we're at. You know, Harley, we started this program with Harley talking about the medias and their listenership. But this is the rubber stamp. This is the imminent front that they're putting out to the people. The politicians are in lockstep with the media. It's the new democracy. You know, and I'll tell you something. I don't know if there's a basis for lawsuit here. I wished I had the money to file lawsuits because I'd go after every one of these damn medias for repeatedly the talking heads, the people that are on these shows, not just their guests, but the people that are the talking heads that are sitting at their little desk or podiums or their little coffee clutches, calling this country a democracy. It is not a democracy. You have watched this being ramped up. Now, if I had a dollar for every damn time that I heard democracy on Fox News and MSNBC, I wouldn't need to worry about funding for this network. The political coup is taking place in this country, ergo people like Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton was at least a very accomplished liar. She was a Democrat. She was the First Lady. She was a state senator. She was a Secretary of State. How could she ascend to such positions such as that if really in her dark little heart she really is a communist socialist? The people don't know. They don't have the ability to know. They know something's wrong, but they have nothing to compare it to.
I would make the point that this is the deliberate effect of probably the entire post-war period, but especially since the assassination of John Kennedy, of the destruction of the idea of truth and the idea of principle. You know, what we've had is a cultural relativism that's been rammed down the throats of everyone going back to the 60s. You know, what we used to call the counterculture became the culture. It's no longer the counterculture, it is the culture. And people believe this, that everyone has their own reality. You know, I see this when I delve into social media and take a look at what people are communicating to each other. Here you have here's a perfect example of this. Lanny Davis, the new spokesman for Michael Cohen. Now, Lanny Davis has been a Clinton operative for 30 years. He was a very staunch defender of Bill Clinton during the 90s. He was the spokesperson for Hillary during much of the time when she was preparing for U.S. Senate and then for the presidency. Now, he came out and made a statement 2 weeks ago that Cohen has the goods on Trump with Russia, mm-hmm. that Cohen knew about the collusion of his campaign with Russia, that Cohen knew about Trump's collusion, and that Cohen is going to release this information to Mueller. This was headline news for a couple of days. Then on Saturday afternoon, Davis came out and said, well, he misspoke. Cohen doesn't have any such thing. Now, what did the people hear? They heard the trumpeting over days that there's evidence that Michael Cohen has that Trump knew about collusion and was involved in collusion.
And not the retraction or exactly. A quiet one sentence, okay, we were wrong, under their breath.
And nobody in the mainstream media made the point that Davis has been a Clinton operative for 30 years. He's considered a fixer, a powerful lawyer, on and on and on, but what is he really? He's a facilitator for the Clinton corruption.
You may have noticed we have not taken a break, and we're going to run to the top of the hour here, because since I only have you on for 2 hours, and you're a very good source of information, and I enjoy your perspective on things, let me take this call from Texas. Andy in Texas, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, hey, John. First, I just want to start off with I had a good morning this morning. I got outside, and I was looking at a clear blue sky.
Yeah.
And then I watched six jets crisscross each other and put out a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting in a big stream of soup called strontium, barium, and aluminum.
Breathe deep. I'm sure it's good for your health. Now, what's your question here, Andy?
Well, my thing is that, I mean, here we are. We've got this president who, we're just kind of mixed up between all of this as to what he's really up to. He's doing some great things, and he's doing some things that we're like, oh, my God. I mean, just fix this internet BS right now. Do that. Just go on and do it. Get it done. What are you waiting for? But in the same token, you have to wonder, how come he can't clean house? How come he can't drain the swamp? Is it because he can't, or he doesn't want to, or is he afraid for his life? And if he's afraid for his life, I think in today's day and age, when you run for presidency and you get the presidency, you should be automatically afraid for your life.
Andy, hang on a second. Harley, you said earlier about your contacts in and around the White House. How far up the food chain does that go? Because you made the statement that these people are looking at things and they're confused.
Well, they include some long-term friends of the president who are asking the same questions that your callers are asking. Why isn't Trump doing what he talked about for the last 15 years if he had run for president? You know, Trump is portrayed as someone who moves by his gut instincts and who often doesn't have ideas or plans. He has a lot of plans. He knows the terrain, but he's not a detail person. He's not someone who's figured out all the ifs, buts, and ands. For example, on the Federal Reserve, he's spoken against the Federal Reserve. He's recently attacked the head of the Federal Reserve for the quantitative easing policy or for the ending of the free flow of credit. But he also knows the free flow of credit hasn't really done anything good for the country.
Yeah, but it's the only thing that's keeping it afloat. Isn't that the irony?
Yeah. And so the question that Andy, I think was his name, just asked, all three of those things. I don't think Trump has the full intent to carry through what he knows must be done. Is it because he can't, because he doesn't have the people to back him, because he's scared for his life?
Okay, well, let me break this down by way of analogy. Okay, I take over the CEO spot of XYZ Corporation, and we've got people sitting on that board. We've got the managers that run the various departments that look over the operations and all of these things. And I come in as CEO, and I know where we need to go. Okay, this is what's wrong with the company. This is why we're bleeding money here. We're not maximizing our profits over there. What are you guys doing here? He comes in. He knows where he wants to go. This is what a CEO does with governing, if you will. Comes in, says, look, I've identified the problems. We need to make this thing work. This is why I was hired. But then you've got your board, or you've got the heads of your department that are not following your vision. In other words, yeah. I want this done. I'm CEO of XYZ, and I'm telling you, department heads, I'm telling you, board, this is what we need to do. How do we accomplish that goal? How much support do you think I'm getting from this company that wants status quo? They're too busy of the politics of covering their own butts, much like you see the federal government operating. How much help is Trump actually getting?
Well, here's one thing that the deep state has done that's very clever. They've essentially said that anyone who cleans house that way and follows through on their convictions is an authoritarian, a dictator, and has to be stopped. So they've already painted the excuse for why he shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And it takes courage. But he's shown courage in standing up to the deep state. He hasn't shown enough courage yet, and no. I think that's what people are clamoring for.
And that is the problem. He has stated he's a man of his word. I have not yet seen what the grand plan is with the side meetings that have been going on with Mexico. Supposedly we're dumping NAFTA. I have a nothing burger. I've got nothing to sink my teeth into, nothing whatsoever. But Trump, it's been renamed. He's picked on Canada and said, look, you guys are next. Don't worry about it. We'll get around to you as well. The guy is in there. He's a businessman. He's a wheeler dealer. He's a deal maker. And that's what executives in the executive office do. And it's my God, I've never, Harley, I've been alive for a few years, and I've never seen the state of confusion, the state of the nation. We've got a $3 trillion by 2020. We need another $3 trillion to run things.
But John, you know, the other thing that we've never seen before, such an open contempt for an elected official coming from the leaders of both parties, from the media, from the think tanks. And that shows that they are incredibly fearful, because they know that if Trump did what he could do, most of the population or enough of the population would back him up. And what they're really afraid of, the deep state, is the American people. That's why they're disarming them. That's why they're doing everything they can to brainwash them and to weaken their sense that they have some kind of birthright to actually run our own country.
Well, on top of the media being controlled, and we've named them and who they are and where they come from and what their true political beliefs are, now we're seeing the full frontal assault on public platforms. Now, I've reminded people that Facebook and Twitter, these are privately owned companies. Yeah. Privately owned companies can make up their own rules, and they have. And everybody is shocked and surprised about it. Now people are going to other venues where other people that are claiming that have these sites that, well, we're not going to edit your comments, or we're not going to ghost you or shadow you, and we won't be throwing you off. Okay, that's fine. But what I'm seeing here is the absolute shutdown for the independent media or people that listen to it that want to spread the message. This is an all-out assault. Here is the coup taking place in America today. What everybody has talked about for all these years, here it is. And the only thing I'm getting here,
right in front of us.
Yeah. And the only thing I'm getting here is Trump's not this, or he's not that, or he's collusionary, or whatever. Look, I hate to break it to folks, but the president of the United States doesn't run the country. Okay, he's the president of the United States, the federal government. We have governments, and this is no accident. This is why you have state legislatures. This is why you have governors. This is why you have lieutenant governors. This is why you have state senators. This is why you have your state legislators. We have a political body within our respective states, and everybody's looking to Washington, D.C., and Donald Trump to fix everything and go find Noah's Ark on top of it. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, have people lost their minds? I know we're under great duress and threat, but who are we turning to? We're putting everything on this guy's shoulders.
No, and that's the problem in the political class, and that's also the problem with the American people not having the confidence to really follow through on what they believe, and also not knowing what to believe. I think it's really a problem that people don't know what this country was set up to do. They don't know the difference between real physical economy and a funny money system that's designed to put the wealth, the paper wealth, in the hands of 0.5% of the population.
You know, it was strange. I told the story. I was in Lowe's the other day, box store. Hardly anybody in the store, probably a 20-year-old kid running the register. And I was starting to talk about what's wrong with the economy. He looked at me out of the side of his face with a wry grin on his face. And he says, he looks me straight in the eye, and he says, oh, you mean the fiat money system?
Yeah.
I about fell over. I'll tell you what, if we're that far ahead and they're that weak and they're that scared and we're all that powerful, please let me feel the power.
Yeah.
You know? All right, let's take the break here, top of the hour. Harley Schlanger is my guest, Harley, SCH at gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.